Well, it seems like there's been a theme in lots of different conversations I've been having recently, and there are lots of different ones who have not been feeling well, illnesses of different types, different injuries, different surgeries, things going on at home, things going on at work, lots of different things that would tend to cause us to question our faith and why is God doing what he is doing, and maybe even what is God doing, you know, just to start right there. And so I thought today I wanted to share some thoughts about James chapter 1. It's a verse we're all very familiar with, but you know, one of the things that I recognize as we really focus on the things that are going on in our own lives is how much am I really applying what the Word is saying? How well am I truly understanding what the Word is saying, and how well am I applying it to my life? In verse 2, he says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It sounds so easy for that to run off our lips, and it sounds so easy to justify to people, well, you ought to be just considering it all joy. That's what faith is, okay? But then you get into the middle of when it's up to you. You know, my problems are worse than your problems because they're my problems, and so now I've got to begin applying them to myself. Well, what does that really look like? And it begs the answer, what do I truly believe? And really even what belief is. How do I get there? Practically speaking, how do I get to the point where I am truly able to consider it joy when things happen in my life that I rarely, really, you know, if I was honest, wish they wouldn't happen? But later on, you find yourself going, you know what, I wouldn't have asked for this, but I wouldn't change anything for the world. Because you see what God's done. That's that endurance that it's talking about building, right? So as we see God working and our endurance builds so that the next time something comes along, we can go back and we can remember, yeah, but God is a good God. And so in thinking about considering it all joy, one of the things that in my own life that I've realized is a couple of things have to happen in order for me to build the muscle of considering it all joy. First of all is the confession of the sin that I'm committing. In other words, if I'm not considering it all joy, if I'm rattled by things going on around me, I'm sinning. Why? Because I'm not trusting God. Because if I'm trusting him, if I'm trusting that he loves me, then I'm not going to be rattled by the things that are going on. Now, again, this is something that you develop because you can go in knowing it, but it's something that, you know, in Scripture, it tells us to practice righteousness. It tells us to practice focusing on the good things in life. It tells us, so these are things that we have to catch ourselves doing, but when we do catch ourselves kind of going off track, confess that as sin to God. And then desire the repentance. Ask God to have, but you know what? One thing that I've recognized in any time that the Lord has pointed out a sin in me, that if I just say, Lord, take it away from me, it doesn't work that way. Why? Because he wants to know, am I serious about it? Do I see this? Do I want the easy path? Am I just tired of having to pay the consequences for the sin? Or do I really want rid of it? And if I go to him and say, Lord, I see it and I don't want this in my life, but I also know I'm powerless to change it in myself. You know, only one person can change this about me, and that's him. I can change habits, I can change some behavior patterns and everything, but really to change my heart is going to take Christ and Christ alone. So if I recognize that and I say, Lord, change me, help me to focus on who you are. What do I know about who you are? And focus on those things to be true. Ask myself, Lord, are there things that you're asking me to do that I'm not doing? Because if you know he's asking you to do something and you're not doing it, yeah, we found ourselves a hiccup, right? So it's go to him and confess that. Lord, I hear you, and I've not been doing it, and now you need to make a commitment, okay? And so you've got sorrow that's attached to that, but there also then has to become repentance. You know, it's one thing to be sorrowful about something you've done, but, you know, it may be just because you got caught. It may be because you're truly sorrowful because somebody got hurt. But if you don't repent of that, there's not going to be any change. You'll just turn around and do the same thing all over again. Why? Because you saw it as a solution the first time you did it. And if you don't repent of it and you don't say, you know, Lord, I'm thinking wrong. You know, because in thinking wrong, we get off track. We begin to think we can develop our own solutions and follow our solutions, follow man's solutions. We start hanging out with other people who have solutions that very much are in line with ours. That's why we like hanging out with them, right? But if we're thinking wrong, we're hanging out and we're validating the wrong things in our own lives. As Pastor Gary said in first service, it's not that God is asking us to be perfect. The lack of perfection isn't where sin is. So it's in the lack of the desire, it's the lack of faith, it's the lack of turning to him. That's where our sin is. 2 Thessalonians tells us that's where the sin is. It's not believing, it's not loving the truth, falling in love with the truth. So these are the things that get us off track. So as I looked at James and considered, what does considered all joy mean? Well, if you start with, Lord, I'm disturbed by this. I confess it as sin. Because it's not to say that we don't need to be aware of things that are going on, but it is to say that we're not to be worried about the outcome, because we know there's a good and loving Father who is sovereign over that outcome. So it's going to him and saying, Lord, I confess this as sin, and I know I'm powerless to change this in my own strength, but I know you can, and that's what I'm asking for. And then begin to solidify that. So every time something comes up that you go, oh, man, why is this happening? You go, but wait a minute, what do I know about God? He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's sovereign in all things. You know, he's present everywhere. He knows all about everything. He's got a plan that he has had since before time began. I'm about part of that plan, and his plan's good. Okay? And then you match everything against those truths, and you go, therefore, this can't be true, you know, or this can't be something I need to worry about because of all that I know to be true. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the fact that we know that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you make these promises to us in your word. And Lord, there are times where I fail and I do things I know I shouldn't do. And Lord, I'm just so thankful to know that if I come to you in earnest repentance, if I confess it and come earnestly repenting, Lord, you stand there with open arms, ready to forgive me and ready to point me in the right direction. Lord, I thank you for that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.